Conference muted.
Okay, great. So it's my great pleasure tonight to introduce to you Lori Wyman. And she is from Miami, Florida, if that's correct, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yes, and she'll be sharing her wonderful story, which I was just hearing a little about before, of her journey of recovering through breast cancer, where she, without any Western medicine at all through macrobiotics. So very inspiring. I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of it. So we're happy to have you here with us.
Thank you.
So it's all yours. Take the floor. How? So where did your journey start? How did this all happen? How did you, you know, find out about macrobiotics, and how did this
Okay.
all start?
Well, by profession, I'm a casting director. That's what I do for my job. And back in 1985, I was casting a television series called Miami Vice. And an actor came in, and he booked a role on Miami Vice. And as a gift, a lot of times when, you know, someone books a role, they give me a little thank you gift. And this particular actor gave me a thank you gift of a book. And the book was called Confessions of a Kamikaze Cowboy. And it was written by an actor whose name is Dirk Benedict. And for those of you who may or may not know who Dirk Benedict is, there was a TV show back in the, was it 70s or 80s, called The A-Team. It was a Stephen J. Cannell television series, and it was called The A-Team. And he was the cute, good-looking one. And Dirk Benedict was diagnosed with, I believe it was prostate cancer, and Dirk Benedict cured himself through macrobiotics. So this particular actor gave me this book, which I don't really read a lot of extra books, or at the time I didn't, because I was reading scripts every week, and, you know, when you read so much, you don't really read extracurricular books. You know, you just kind of read as much as you have to. But for whatever reason, and of course there's no such thing as coincidence, so I read this book from cover to cover. And when I finished reading it, I said to myself, one day I will be macrobiotic. And that was in 1985. And it was just something that was in my gut. I just felt that one day I would be macrobiotic. And I actually encountered a few actors along the way who were macrobiotic. And every time I would encounter somebody, I would talk to them, and I would get all this information from them, but I had no idea how to do it. I you know, you always hear, well, people who are macrobiotic eat brown rice, you know, a lot of brown rice. So I knew the brown rice deal, but I didn't know much else. And I just knew that one day I would be given a sign. I'm a believer in signs, and I knew that one day I would be given a sign. And in 1998, so now we're going 13 years later, and you have to know, I was a garbage can. I ate anything. I mean, breakfast was, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, breakfast was Diet Coke and Hershey's Kisses, or maybe some like sugar frosted flakes loaded with sugar, or Pop-Tarts, you know, those full of sugar, chocolate, had to be chocolate Pop-Tarts. Lunch was something like bacon double cheeseburgers from Burger King or Taco Bell. And dinner, oh, it was horrible. And dinner was, you know, I'd go to maybe Bobby Rubino's, but it wasn't the meat that I was into. It was more the sugary syrupy sauce all over. Gosh, I love sugar. So in 1998, I discovered a lump in my left breast, and I felt it, and that was 4th of July weekend, 1998, and Monday morning, first thing, or whatever the day after the weekend, Monday or Tuesday morning, 9 a.m., I was at my doctor's door, and I had no appointment, of course, and I just barged myself in and said, you've got to see me now, you've got to check this now, you've got to see what this is now. Because my mother had breast cancer, both of my grandmothers had breast cancer. So this wasn't something that I played with. And I was very good. I was 42 at the time. And I went to, I would get my mammograms every year. That was in July, and I had a mammogram the previous October, I believe. And everything was clear. And I went to the doctor, And I've been seeing this man since I'm 15 years old, so of course he took me right in. And when he examined me, he said, well, I'm sure it's nothing, but I want you to go get a mammogram. So I went and got a mammogram the next day, and the mammogram showed nothing. But I knew it wasn't nothing because I could feel it. So then the next day I went and got a sonogram, and the sonogram showed this big knot. And, you know, I guess for those of you who've experienced this, it's sheer panic because you just don't know what to do. And I didn't know what to do. And this poor doctor, I mean, every day I would show up at his front door. And I'm like, now what do I do? Now what do I do? Now what do I do? And he said to me, well, it doesn't belong there, so I think you should have it taken out. And when my mom was 49, something, she was in her 40s, she had found a lump in her breast. And she went to the doctor, and he said, you should have it removed. And she went to sleep to have her lump removed, and she woke up without a breast. So I was always fearful that that might happen to me. So pardon?
Can they just do that?
Well, I guess she must have signed something, but she really didn't know what she was in for.
Wow.
And so when I went to see this surgeon, whom I fondly called Dr. Mengele because he was a butcher, he said, well, we're going to perform a lumpectomy. And I thought, oh, okay, let's just get it out. It doesn't belong there. And before the lumpectomy, they wanted me to sign. They give you all these papers to sign. And the word mastectomy was in the papers. And I said, no, I will not sign anything that has the word mastectomy on it. And I guess they're really not used to patients arguing because everybody was rather annoyed with me. And I said, well, I'm sorry. It's my body, and I don't like that word in there. And he said, well, it's not really a mastectomy. It's something called a segmental mastectomy, which means a partial. I said, you know what? Get the word out of there or I'm not signing anything. So we had to draw up new papers, and eventually it said lumpectomy, only lumpectomy, and that's the end of that. And when I woke up from the surgery, the doctor said, it's malignant. He had the bedside manner of I don't know, the worst possible person you could think of. And he looked at me and goes, it's malignant. I started to cry. He pat my husband on the back. He said, good luck, and walked out.
Wow.
I know, horrible. And I couldn't function. I mean, it's an outpatient procedure, but I couldn't function. So they said if I couldn't stand up and leave and I couldn't function, I would have to be admitted. So I got admitted to the hospital and woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, ready to go home. And then when I got home, my husband explained to me that the doctor wanted to do chemo and radiation. And it was a stage 1 tumor. It was 1.2 centimeters, and which isn't huge, and it was stage 1, and that was a good thing. But they still wanted to radiate me and chemo me, and I said, I can't. And that's when my memory of Dirk Benedict and Confessions of a Kamikaze Cowboy kicked in, and I said, this is my sign. I'm going macrobiotic. And I immediately called the Cushy Institute, and they had a Way to Health week, and I signed up to do that in August. And I went to see two other doctors, and one wanted to do a double mastectomy, chemo and radiation, because my mom had had breast cancer. So he said, well, let's just do a double mastectomy just to, you know, be on the safe side. Oh, my. I walked out of there crying. I did a lot of crying during those days. And I went up to Massachusetts for a week because the Cushy Institute is in Beckett, Massachusetts. Beautiful. And I went up there for a week with my husband, who was a godsend. And my husband and I learned. I mean, they really educate you. You are living it 24/7 for a week and learning what to eat. And I had a consultation with a woman by the name of Wendy Esco. And Wendy put me on a healing diet because even though they removed the lump, there was still cancer cells in my body. And Wendy put me on what is known as a healing diet. So I was eating very, 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 very narrow. I wasn't eating wide. It was miso soup for breakfast. It was rice and beans and veggies for lunch and basically the same thing for dinner. And it was no pasta, no oil, no fish. I mean, it was a very, very narrow diet. But I had to eat that way in order to squeeze the cancer out. Because what I learned so much. I learned that if you don't feed cancer, it can't grow. I learned that the three biggest contributing factors to breast cancer are dairy, sugar, and caffeine. And that's what most women live on. And that's why the American Cancer Society says 1 in 8 women in this country get breast cancer. And I learned that that exercise helps. And stress, you know, you've got to learn to reduce stress because that's a contributing factor as well. And I followed this diet to a T because it was my life. And, you know, people would say to me, do you cheat? And I'd say, who am I cheating? God? Like, who am I cheating? Me. I mean, this is not like no one's going to find out. I never got that. And people used to say, well, you know, do you cheat a little? And they'd say it like they'd whisper. I'd say, well, I'm the one who loses if I cheat. This is life and death here. This is not a game. And I went back to Beckett in October. And I saw Wendy again, and she said, you're getting better. I had lost 20 pounds. I was not big to begin with. At the time, I weighed 128, and I lost 20 pounds. So I went down to 108. I was healthy as could be, but I was emaciated. And I felt great. I had a lot of energy. And then I went back to Beckett again, and then I started going to see an oncologist, and they would do the blood tests. And my doctor said, I've never seen anybody with such wonderful scores. You know, my cholesterol was 101. I mean, it was amazing. He just couldn't believe. And I said, well, because I'm healthy. I mean, we all have the capacity to do that. Everybody doesn't have to. Unfortunately, the American diet is not very healthy. And we go out to dinner, and restaurants think, well, if they give you a lot more food, it's better, but it's not healthy. But we don't know that. But I had never been able to get pregnant. It wasn't something that, I mean, I was a big career woman. My husband was a career guy, and we traveled a lot. We were professionals, and I have friends who've had surgery to get pregnant or the in vitro fertilization to get pregnant. And I wasn't into it that much. But I had never been able to get pregnant, or I should say I had never gotten pregnant, because I was blocked. My ovaries were blocked. And that's part of it. The ovaries and the breasts are all connected. They're all connected and aligned. So I was blocked in the ovaries and kind of backed up into the breasts. And what's that? And so I.
How long were you? I was just curious how long you were on the healing diet for before you, you know, started branching out.
I would say 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. I had to start adding food because I just was losing so much weight.
Right.
And I was emaciated.
Right.
And I called my counselor and I said, when does it stop? I mean, I understood the concept. I was squeezing the cancer out of my body, but I lose weight quickly if I don't eat. I have to eat a lot. And so I lose weight quickly. And plus I was power walking every day. I was really exercising. And so I would say about 3 or 4 months. And finally, Wendy goes, oh, my gosh, stop. Let's add some pasta. We added pasta back in. We added a little bit of oil. We added fish once or twice a week. We added shrimp once a month. I'm not a big shellfish eater, but once a month. We started adding little things back in that at least my weight was maintained. And I was really, really healthy. And in February of 01, so my odyssey began in August of 98. In February of 01, I know this is going to sound really bizarre, but it's true. I felt my body unblock. Sounds crazy, but I did. I felt like this surge in my body, and I felt my body unblock. I mean, I felt it, and I didn't really acknowledge, but I felt it. I was at a macrobiotic conference in Tampa, Florida, and this was February of 01. And Michio Kushi was there. And I did a group consultation with him. And I looked at him and I said, will I ever be able to have children? And he looked at me and he said, I'll never forget these words. He said, becoming beautiful baby. That's what he said, becoming beautiful baby. And he said, you will have a baby between the ages of 44 and 49. And I kind of laughed, and the next month I was pregnant. And I had my child 5 months shy of my 46th birthday. That's I need to ask him what the lottery numbers are. But, yeah. And I had no drugs. I had nothing. And I didn't even have any drugs to deliver her. Healthy, 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 healthy. Thank you, God. And she's 8 years old now. And I'm blessed beyond belief because I never, ever thought. I mean, not that I, you know, planned on any, but I never thought I'd ever have kids. And macrobiotics gave me way more than I bargained for. And I have a friend, you were talking about ulcerative colitis. I teach actors auditioning for film and television. It's my thing. And about 10 years ago, I had a girl in my class. She was young like you were. She was 21, and she was a dancer. And she couldn't dance anymore because of her ulcerative colitis.
So that's she was exactly the story as well, actually.
That's so funny. And she was taking the acting class because she was hoping to stay within the arts, but she really couldn't dance anymore. Mm-hmm. So we broke for lunch that day, and she asked me what I was eating, and I was having my rice and beans. And she said, oh, what is that? And we started chatting during my lunch. And I said, and she said, I have ulcerative colitis, and I am... I'll never be able to get off of the steroids, and I'll always have to be near a bathroom. And I looked at her, and I said it so smug, and I said, oh, you can cure that with macrobiotics. And she looked at me, and she said, oh, no, the doctor said that I will always have to be on this medication. I said, the doctors don't know what they're talking about. And I say it to people because I meet people all the time. A large number of actors I have met have Crohn's disease and various other diseases. But I've met a lot of actors with Crohn's disease. And I looked at this girl and I said, oh, you can cure that. And I say it to other people, but nobody ever listens to me. But this girl listened. She went up to Kushi. She lived there for 4 months. She did the intensive training. Anyway, she's 31 years old now, and she's a dancer, choreographer, living in New York City, takes no medication, completely healthy. Whenever she comes down to Miami, we always get together and we cook. That's our fun. She comes to my kitchen and we cook. And it's wonderful to see. It's a shame because nobody gets rich off of I'm cynical. I apologize. But nobody gets rich off of macrobiotics the way they do off of cancer treatments. You know, the hospital that I got my lumpectomy in, Mount Sinai Hospital, Miami Beach, I was born in that hospital. And when I was born in that hospital, it was one little building, one tiny little building. And when I was there for the lumpectomy, there were lots and lots and lots of big buildings with names on them, the such and such cancer institute, and such, you know, this wing and that wing. And that's what medicine is to me. It's just big business. And it makes people sick. Sure, it can cure people. But I've just seen too many people. My mother, people ask, my mom passed away a few years ago, and people say, what did your mother die from? And I say ovarian cancer, but she didn't really, because the ovarian cancer was gone. She died of the effects of the chemotherapy. She didn't die from the cancer. And they say, huh?
That's amazing. You know.
But it's true, because they had given her a test. They had given her chemo, and then they gave her a test. And the test showed that her, whatever the number is supposed to be, she was below that number. Her ovarian cancer was gone. And the doctor said to her, I just think you should have 4 or 5 more treatments just to be on the safe side. And I begged her not to do it. I said, let your body heal now. And she wouldn't. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not a doctor. He's a doctor. I said, just listen. I beg you. And she wouldn't. I begged her to let me cook for her. I begged her to let me get food for her. I said, I know that I can help you. And 1 week before she died, she looked at me. She was in hospice at this point. And she said, okay, will you cook for me now? I said, I'm not a miracle worker. I mean, 6 months I had a shot. 1 week I don't have a shot. 1 week later she died. You know, it's just, the body is an amazing mechanism. It can heal itself. It really can. I'm very, very sensitive to everything now. If I eat anything that has, and I mean, I read every label, but if I happen to be out and I eat something that might have a little preservative in it that I don't normally eat, immediately I might get lightheaded or my stomach or nauseous. I mean, immediately. It's amazing.
Can you talk a little bit about, I know, one thing that macrobiotics, probably the hardest thing about it is the amount of time that you spend preparing the food. How did you incorporate that, especially having, you know, the lifestyle, you know, being, you know, a casting director? I mean, it's, you work a lot of hours, you're not always at the stove. How did you incorporate that into your life?
Yeah, I know. What I would do is I would get up really early, and I would put my beans and rice on, and then I would go for my power walk. And then by the time I got home, the beans and rice were done. And then while I was walking, I was soaking my shiitake mushroom and my wakame. And people who are listening are going, what? They're dried mushrooms. They're dry shiitake mushrooms. They're very medicinal. And the wakame, if you go to a Japanese restaurant and you order miso soup, the green seaweed that's in there, or I don't know how you say it, wakame. And so it was very organized. I would put the mushroom and the wakame in the water to soak and put the rice and beans on and then go for my walk. Then I would come home and then it would be done. Then I would boil everything and run in and, you know, like I, it was a lot of running back and forth and back and forth, and I would make enough food for breakfast and lunch, and I would take it in my little containers and have it for lunch, and then the same for dinner. I was actually very, very fortunate that my husband loves to cook, and he still does. He cooks for me. I'll call him at the end of my day, and I'll say, I'm on my way home. And he says, what do you want? And I say, well, put on a pot of rice, and tonight I'll have grilled onions and seitan and broccoli. And he's like, all right. And then I come home, and my dinner is ready. Or I'll have udon pasta with ginger. And, you know, when I was pregnant, I rarely got nauseous. I had a really wonderful pregnancy. I mean, I had really a wonderful pregnancy. I never had morning sickness. I never threw up. It was fine. I mean, I didn't even know I was pregnant for the first few months, except I was thinking, well, this is weird. How come maybe I'm going through menopause. That's what
wow.
I thought. I thought I was going through menopause is what it was. And I had asked my mom, and I said, how old were you? And she said, I was 44 going on to 45. I said, oh, I must be going through menopause. And that's because I had no symptoms of being pregnant. And then after I had the baby, that was it. I guess I went through menopause. I was done. And my friends are like, you didn't have any hot flashes? You didn't have? I said, no. No. One of my actresses came in to me one day and she said, you don't know, I have such hot flashes and this is I said, how much caffeine do you drink? And she glared at me. She goes, oh, you're not going to ask me to give up my caffeine, are you? I said, well, unless you like those hot flashes. I said, just try it. Just try it. And she came to me about a month later and she goes, all right, you win. I said, yeah. That caffeine is, I don't really drink caffeine. I mean, I don't drink caffeine. Every once in a while, I have a Starbucks chai tea with soy milk, and it has caffeine. It's like
right, very
like
mild.
A guilty pleasure, and immediately, I feel like my heart racing and zzzz. It's like okay. You know, I remember why I don't do that, and. But yeah, I was lucky because my husband cooked for me, and if I had to, you know, at night before you go to bed, you write a little menu out. Okay, I'm going to soak my rice. I'm going to soak my beans. Everything had to be very, very organized. It had to be a very well-oiled machine because I was saving my life, and I wasn't willing to do what the doctors wanted me to do. And I wanted to prove to them that what I was doing was right. So I had to make it work. You know, if you have time to cook junk, you have time to cook good food too. You really do. It's not, people think, oh, it takes so much time. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to take that much time. You know, so you wake up a little bit earlier, which I wake up early anyway. And you just have to stay focused. Do you find that?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. For me, that was the hardest part, you know,
mm-hmm.
being, you know, at a unstable time, you know, during your college years where nothing really is stable and,
right.
you know,
right.
you're never in the same place. So for me, it took me a good 5 years to really organize, you know, what my routine was because
mm-hmm.
still trying to figure yourself out and what you want to be doing and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, especially trying to get back into dancing and then pushing too soon and going back. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, three steps forward, two steps back. But
mm-hmm.
is that you get there. You still get there. Even, you know, if you can't do it so organizedly, which is amazing what you've done. I really, really have to say from personal experience, just admire that because, you know, it is very difficult, but you're right. It's not impossible. And, you know, people don't have, there's no excuse when there's something that could help you, you know, that it's just food, you know, it's just
right.
food. And if life is at stake, then why not, you know, give up the coffee, give up the caffeine, because it's so worth it and it's so rewarding and not just to heal your cancer, but you have now, you know, beautiful daughter that you wouldn't have had, you know, if
no.
you had it, you know.
Not even a question. I absolutely would not. You know, that's the silver lining around the gray cloud of the cancer. I mean, if anybody had said, would you want breast cancer? Of course the answer is no, but it has opened up such an amazing life. I wrote a book about a year and a half ago. I published it. It's called The Organic Actor. And a lot of the stuff in there, I've slipped in some macrobiotic stuff. I don't specifically say it's macrobiotic, but like things like sugar interferes with memorization skills. And the sugar interferes with focusing. And I put somewhere in that book somewhere is a, I write that. I say, you know what? You really need to lower your sugar intake if you're having trouble memorizing. You really shouldn't, you know, if you're very, very high strung and very nervous, the last thing you need to do before an audition is eat a candy bar.
Right.
Because the sugar is going to jack you up even more. People don't get that. Or they come in, they have a cup of coffee before an audition. It's like the caffeine and the nerves, and they're a mess. It's like you need to relax. You need to breathe. You need to, I talk about breathing, and you know, a lot of the concepts that I write about, I've learned through macrobiotics. I feel like I barely know anything, and I've been practicing macrobiotics for 12 years, and you know, I want to know so much more. And my reading material at night before I go to bed, or just hanging out downstairs on the kitchen table, the books that surround me are my macrobiotic books. That's what I read, my macrobiotic books. I think I own every one published. Every time a new one comes out, I go, oh, I got to buy it. And I love reading that stuff. It's just so peaceful. You know, everything is so peaceful. Surrounding the food is peaceful. It's interesting, different when people come over to my house for dinner, when I make dinner, a dinner, people love coming over because they say after dinner they feel satiated, but they don't feel full. They don't feel stuffed and they feel happy. You know, they don't feel, and I cook so that it's not, I mean, I don't cook tempeh with, you know, sauerkraut and, you know, I try to cook where people don't look at the food and go, ooh, what's that? You know, I'll make a piece of white fish and corn on the cob and maybe some nice mixed rice, you know, not necessarily just brown rice, but whole grain, different grain rice. And you can make some really, really wonderful meals that are very nice and mainstream. I mean, I have a child. I can't put her on a very strict, tight diet. She needs things. Children need more fat to help their brain grow. And, you know, they need fattier foods to help them grow. And I can't expect her to eat the same way that I eat. And I had to learn that, too. Because you also have to learn when you have a child that it's okay if they have a piece of cake at a birthday party, even though it makes me crazy. But if I don't let her have that piece of cake at a birthday party when she's 12 or 13 or 14 years old, she may go crazy and become obese because mommy never let her eat anything, you know? So it's a learning experience. It's all learning, but it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, I was saying something to you and Fia before the call about this analogy that I came up with, this with cancer, because people talk to me about the chemo and the radiation, and I go, well, think of it this way. If you have a tree in a nice, warm, moist, dark forest, well, the environment that the tree is in, it's going to grow algae, because that's how algae grows, nice, warm, moist, dark environment. I said, and if you've got a tree that's got algae all over it, you can go in and you can cut off the algae and you can burn off the algae and you can scrape off the algae and you can get every bit of algae off that tree. But what happens if you leave it in that nice, warm, moist, dark forest? Algae is going to grow back because that's the environment in which it grows. I said, and that's the same as a body. You can do chemo, radiation, and you can even do your double mastectomy. But if you don't change the environment in which the cancer grew, it's going to come back.
That's a very good, that's a really good analogy. That makes a lot of sense.
Right?
Ooh, yeah.
So I say to people, I had to change the environment in my body. I had to starve the cancer, and I had to change the environment in my body. And
right.
Then...
And you're very successful at it as well, so...
Right?
Very
yeah.
I actually want to open it up to
okay.
questions and answers at this time. We have 20 minutes left, so I just want to get in a couple of questions. So if anyone has a question at this time, you can dial 5-star on your phone, and I'll be able to see who you are and anything. If you to continue back on what you're saying, it's absolutely, it's so important to, you can't change something if you're constantly doing the same routine. If you're in the same routine over and over again, then you're just going to keep getting the same results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change your routine, change your environment in order to get different results. So,
mm-hmm.
and that's what people, I think it's just very hard for people to make change. So they get stuck in the same routines over and over again.
It's very hard in anything. And especially,
yeah.
you know, one of the hardest things that you may have found that a lot of people mention to me is how do you maintain this diet and socialize with people? You know, how do you go out to dinner with people, or how do you go over their house for dinner? How do you do that? And I said, well, all of my friends understand my eating habits. And they know that there's only certain kinds of restaurants that I can go to. I don't go to Fridays and I don't go to Chili's. I go to a sushi restaurant, or I can go to a Chinese restaurant, you know, any kind of an Asian restaurant. I can always find tofu and brown rice and veggies. I mean, you know, so that's good. Or Italian sometimes. If I can get some whole grain pasta with, I will eat red sauce sometimes, tomato sauce. Years and years and years ago, tomato sauce used to just, because I had not ulcerative, but I called them my stomach attacks. I had colitis, and it was for years, forever, and it was horrible. I mean, just the pain was intense, and tomato sauce used to really do it with all the acid. And now I can have tomato sauce every once in a while. I went over to a friend's house last night for dinner. He had whole grain pasta, but he had made the tomato sauce from scratch, you know, with tomatoes. And I mean, he made it. He didn't buy it in a jar. And he made whole grain pasta. He made his dough. I mean, everything was homemade and no cheese. Whenever I,
Everything's better from scratch. Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and my friends all know that, well, if Lori comes over, this is how it has to be. And I don't expect anybody. And sometimes I bring my own food. Sometimes people, well, I say, you know what, don't worry about it. I don't have a problem if you don't have a problem. People think it's kind of weird, but hey, I don't want to not socialize with somebody. And if I do go out, someone wants to have pizza, I'll go out, I'll get a whole grain crust and no cheese, just a bunch of veggies on there. And there's nothing, you know, it's not like I don't eat like that every day, but if every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can, and people say your friends understand or your friends go along. I go, you know what? They wouldn't be my friends if they didn't understand. If somebody didn't, you know, go along with that, well, that's not somebody I want as my friend. And people don't get that. It's like, hello, it's your life. You have to look out for yourself. You can't worry that some person is going to be insulted or laugh at you because you don't go out and eat whipped cream on top of your ice cream at Haagen-Dazs. I don't eat at Haagen-Dazs. I'll go with you. Oh, come on, have one scoop. No, I don't eat ice cream. Sorry, It's my life. People need to learn how to stand up for themselves. It's like, this is who I am. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, well, bye-bye, you know? Because when it's down to your health, that has to be number one. Because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. You know that.
But I do. It's so true. It's so true. And, you know, especially, as a young age, you got to have your health because you have your whole life ahead of you. So you have to be healthy. You know, nothing else is going to happen. Nothing else,
It doesn't really matter. If you don't have your health, you can have all the money in the world. You can have the greatest career. You can have fancy cars, big mansions, lots of jewelry. But if you're lying in bed, dying, who cares?
Enjoy any of that. Exactly. Exactly. So, this is so great. I'm really just inspired by your story completely. And again, if anyone has any questions, now is the time to chime in, just pressing 5-star. And, we'll be here for a little longer.
Come on, guys. You don't have anything you want to ask? Don't say, I was afraid. I was afraid to buzz in. Don't be afraid.
Anyone like to say hi or just,
All right.
Any comments at all. So we have a great group of people on. We had 40 people on today.
Oh, that's good.
Really great. Thank you, everyone, for being here.
That's fun. Yeah, a lot of them are my Facebook friends. All my Facebook friends. Sometimes I post my breakdowns for my series on Facebook. And I actually booked one of my Facebook friends on my last episode of Burn Notice.
Yeah, hi, this is Thea. I just wanted to say hello. How are you? Good evening, everybody.
Hi.
You do have some questions coming up. There's several now, I see. So shall we call on them, Marissa?
I don't see any questions.
Okay. Well, funny, I see them. Let me start down here. I've got a question, area code 305. I'm going to unmute this person. Hello. Welcome. This is Thea Kushi.
Yes. Hi. This is Aaliyah.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, Lori. I have a question. I wanted to know, it's about food and diet, but does it say anything as far as sleep habits, like when you're following that particular diet? Because I work night shift, so my schedule is totally the opposite of normal people.
Mm.
So a lot of times, I work from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Three nights a week. So I want to know, does it say anything as far as a specific diet? I mean, with the diet, is there a specific regimen of sleep that you should have? I know exercise goes along with it, but what about sleep-wise?
Thea, can you answer that?
As your health gets better, one of the side effects is better sleep. As you eat less and as your digestion gets better and as things start to come out of you. Because, one of the problems of sleeping, poor sleep, is because we overeat. We eat late at night. We snack a lot. We eat, like she was saying, caffeine and other things that basically disturb our sleep and disturb our health and do all of those things. But when you start to eat less, for number one, and eat more healthy and eat more grains and vegetables, more plant-based foods, your body naturally gets better and healthier and gets much better rest naturally. So I'm sure that's what happened to you, Lori.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right.
This is Marisa here. I just wanted to apologize that the reason being is that my internet has seemed to shut off. So thank you, Fia, for signing on and taking that over, because I could not see. It was no longer hooked up, which is why I couldn't see anyone's questions. So if you could just continue, because I don't want to sign back in and kick you off now. So.
Okay, great. Okay, let me. There's another question here. I'm going to unmute this person. Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, Thank you. My name is Molly Rose. I actually, I'm a local actress, and I found out about this call from Lori's email. So thank you, Lori, for that.
Sure, Molly.
My question is, I have a history of cancer in my family, and for someone who doesn't know too much about microbiotics, what's a good beginner's book that I could read that kind of explains the basics?
Well, I know what I would say. I'm going to say what I would say, and then, Fia, you say what you would say. I think a good beginner book would be The Macrobiotic Way by Michio Kushi. What would you say?
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, I think so. I actually see it at Whole Foods, Molly.
Mm-hmm.
I see it at Whole Foods or Barnes & Noble, but it's just called The Macrobiotic Way by Michio Kushi.
There's another book that came out recently called The Hip Chick's Guide to Macrobiotics.
You know her, right, Molly? Did you take Jessica's class? Jessica Porter, who wrote The Hip Chick's Guide to Macrobiotics, does hypnosis for actors, and I actually bring her in once a year to do a hypnosis for actors workshop, and she was just here about a month ago.
Oh, no, I read about that. I wanted to go.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She comes in every March because she goes on the macrobiotic cruise, which leaves out of Fort Lauderdale. So she comes in a little bit early, and she does the workshop here, and then she goes on the cruise. So, yeah, but Jessica Porter is that author's name, and she's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I recommend that as well. It's the book I recommend to everyone who starts out, especially women, because it's just really a fun book, and she's really just fun in her writing. And so,
yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Molly.
Great. Thank you. We've got another question down here. Hello? Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Hello? Hi, good.
Hello.
Gail Van Brock.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, Lori. Thank you so much for this topic. And actually, Molly just asked my question. I was wondering how to get started in following this kind of program. Besides the book, do you have any other recommendations? Is there like a support group or
I don't know
something
if there's
else?
My recommendation, I mean, this is, takes a little bit of time and a little bit of financial, but I think what I did, which is fabulous, is to do. Do you still do the one week Way to Health program?
Yeah, that is still going on at the Kushi Institute.
It's such a fabulous program, Gail. It's a 1 week course. It's up at the Kushi Institute, which is in Beckett, Massachusetts. I did it. That was the first thing that I did because you know it's so overwhelming. And you don't know what to do. And this really literally teaches you from ground zero up. When I came home from that week, I literally threw everything out in my kitchen that passed for food. It wasn't food, I now know. But whatever I was using as food, I had to get rid of all of that. I had to change out my pots and pans because I had aluminum pots and pans. I had to change them out to stainless steel. I got rid of my electric stove, and I changed it out for a gas stove. I mean, I 100% changed everything in my kitchen, but I wouldn't have known how to do any of that. But this one-week course, I mean, they pack a lot in. You get up really early, and they teach you to cook. They teach you how to eat. They teach you what to eat. They take you through the store. They explain. I mean, there were – remember sitting in one of the classes and they were talking about shiitake and wakame and kombu and hijiki and arame. And I turned to my husband and I said, I will never learn any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're words that I use all the time, you know. I'm going to make such and such for breakfast, such and such for lunch, and soak this and, you know.
Right.
And it's a really good, really, really – I don't know that we have any kind of a – there actually, we do have a couple of potluck dinners, macrobiotic dinners that are done down in South Florida.
I do also want to mention right in Fort Lauderdale,
hey, Gail.
There's a
yes.
woman named Gail Stolov. She counsels people. She also recovered herself from stage 4 breast cancer.
Yes.
She was one of the guest speakers on our Macrobiotic Miracles conference call. So if you go to the website, that's fiakushi.com, That's me, PHIYAKUSHI. And look up Gail Soloff. She recovered from stage 4 breast cancer. She has a little business where she counsels people and she cooks. She offers macrobiotic meals for
yes.
people who are busy and can't cook for themselves.
I've had many of her meals, and she is wonderful. She's right in Fort Lauderdale, and she does the counseling and the cooking. And once a month or once every couple of months, they have a macrobiotic dinner somewhere in Fort Lauderdale. And can I give out her phone number?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, let me give out Gail's phone number if you want it, Gail or anybody else. Gail Stolov, she has a company called Holy Macro, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And Gail's phone number is area code 954-764-6371. And her boyfriend, Jaime, he does shiatsu and different kinds of massage, and the two, they're great. I've been friends with them for 10 years or more, and they're great. And they cook, and they do cooking classes, and sometimes they do cooking classes up at the Whole Foods in Fort Lauderdale on Federal Highway next at the Whole Foods.
Right.
Okay. Well, that would be great, but a goal of mine would be to go to the Cushy that
yeah.
you mentioned in Massachusetts, because I think I would really need something intense.
Yes.
Otherwise, it would be too overwhelming for me just to follow a book and
You'd
try to
love
do
it, Gail.
Yeah,
love it.
I know
yeah.
I would. You know what? So I'm gonna strive for that, Lori.
Yeah, it's real. It's
priority.
Fabulous. It's a great,
yeah.
great. Oh, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I'll have to
it.
Check into that. Just go online and look.
Yes, it will be Kushi Institute, K-U-S-H-I, institute.org.
.org.
Yeah, that'll
okay,
work, yeah.
I'll have to check into that then.
Yeah.
So wonderful. This gives me hope because this is, you know, I too believe there are no coincidences. When I read this, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is definitely divine intervention. So thank you so much, Lori, for this.
You're welcome, Gail. Thank
and,
you.
We got a couple more questions. We're going to try to get everybody in.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Bye, Gail.
Bye-bye.
Hello? Hello, you're on? Hello? Hello, 561-638?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear us? Yes, we can
yes.
hear you.
Hi. This is Jill Schneider. I was on your show May 10th, and I talked about how I healed myself of cancer back in 1975.
Thanks.
Using macrobiotics, and I wanted to say hello, and I thank you for these wonderful calls. And I wanted to know, tell me, what else did you do to handle the stress that perhaps was part of the cause of the cancer? Other than diet, what else did you do?
You know, I pray a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I always say I always believed in God, but I never used Him.
Mm-hmm.
I started using Him, you know. I believe everything for a reason. I read a lot of like I recently read The Power of Now,
wonderful,
you know, by Eckhart Tolle, and staying in the moment and knowing. That everything works out for a reason, and knowing that most of what I worry about never comes to pass anyway, and just trying to just kind of breathe. The worst time for me of my day is when I wake up early in the morning. That's my panic time. And like once I get going in my day, I'm fine. But like the early morning, 5:30. I wake up like in a panic mode. So if I can just get myself out of bed and put on my sneakers and start walking, and sometimes I listen to like Tony Robbins or The Power of Now, you know, I just listen to motivational things just to get me going. That helps me a lot. And then praying and turning it over to God and saying, you know, take it, just take it because I'm making myself crazy. I don't think anybody is stress-free in this crazy world we live in. I mean, you know, first thing in the morning, it's turn on the iPhone and check your email and and go on Facebook and update your status, and, you know, it's insane. But I always try to make time to at least get 30 minutes worth of walking in. Sometimes I go to the beach, and I walk on the boardwalk on the beach because I live in Hollywood, and it's just center myself.
Wonderful. That's so much a part of how I was able to heal myself as well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jill. Yes, thanks for being on the show, too. I never got to thank you for that.
So. Oh, thank you so much. I had a great day. Great time.
Great. Wonderful. So we got just three more questions, and we'll end it at that, okay? Up here we have Cheryl. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Lori. I'm also an actress up here in the New Jersey area.
That's okay.
I'm recovering from breast cancer, and I've been macrobiotic for almost 6 months. And
oh, wow.
I actually weighed the same as you and lost the same as you, so my question is weight-related. Does it all come back? Does it come back nicely, and about how long did it take?
Oh, Lord, it came back. It came back in droves. Well, I gained back 10, I was hovering at about 118, which was great for me.
Okay.
And then I got pregnant.
Oh,
and when I got pregnant, I actually gained 42 pounds. I decided I wasn't going to be one of those, you know, vain women who was afraid to gain weight. And I ate a lot, and I added a lot more food to my – I had Wendy Esco, who's had 8 children, and I had Wendy as my counselor when I was pregnant. And she added a lot of foods to my diet. I craved a lot of things. And she added salmon. Not that you gain a lot of weight from that. But I gained a lot of weight when I was pregnant. And then I lost most of it, but not all of it. So I eat a lot of stuff just to keep my weight up. Once you start to add oil and you start to add pasta, oil is very fattening.
Like, yeah, I just got that added, so
right.
I'm hoping I'm on the way to some poundage here because I can't even go on an audition. I just look ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's you know. Well, they say the camera adds 10 pounds, so.
The camera's not adding enough these
days. Yeah, but oil will add, and pasta adds, and, you know, I added some breads, some whole grain breads, and.
Did it take months once you included those foods, or is it
steady? Yeah, it took months.
6 months?
I don't know how many, but it did take some months.
Okay.
It doesn't come back right away because I didn't eat a whole ton of it right away.
Right.
It's
gradual. Okay, well, as long as I can anticipate.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
because first you're squeezing everything out, and then you're building it back up.
Right. I'm just anxious now. I'm anxious to put my old jeans on after the summer here.
Wow. Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, because the stuff that you're going to add back in will add more weight.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your story. Very inspiring.
Well, good. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
My pleasure.
Great. Okay, we got two more people. Hello? Hello? Hello, welcome.
Hi, this is Molly Rose again. I already asked my question.
Oh, you did? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go. We're going to go down.
No problem.
Got to.
Thank you, though.
Hello.
Hey, Lori, it's Eva. How are you doing?
Hey, Eva, how you doing? How's your mom?
Hey, she's good. I mean, there's, you know, some little stuff just got found again, but we're trying another drug. But, both my mom and my father used to have a different kind of cancer. They both, you know, live very healthy lifestyles. But you have a fascinating, really captivating, mesmerizing way of talking. You should put it in an audio book
or do
conferences.
I'll add that to my list.
Yeah, no, you really should. You have a gift for it. And so I'm going to make two comments and two quick questions because I just got back from Japan and I noticed they had such small little portions with such interesting stuff and all the strange stuff. And I just discovered for the South Florida people, a Japanese market that I looked for on 79th Street. So there was all that really bizarre grain stuff, different kinds of rices. And And then my two questions were for the macrobiotic stuff, if it's, you know, if they've done studies to show that it helps only certain kinds of cancers, because I noticed on your email, you know, the people who had called before had certain types, or if it's general all cancers. And then the second question was, I think, is it pretty similar to maybe the Japanese diet, or you really need to cut out the meat, because I don't really know what macrobiotic foods are in reality, or when I couldn't think of that word when I told you I had spoken to that guy about his raw food experience when he had gone to that center just to help out his health.
Hippocrates?
Yeah, the Hippocrates, exactly. But I couldn't think of what you had told me, and I was thinking, I don't think it's raw foods, but it's macrobiotic. So I didn't know if, you know, maybe the Asian diet already is pretty good, or maybe here in the U.S. is because we serve different portions, like what you were saying. So those were my two questions.
Sophia, it is more of a Japanese diet, right?
Well, definitely there's a carryover from Japanese foods, but grains and vegetables are a staple of any traditional culture. Japanese, what is primarily Japanese are the fermented food products, which Japan has a great tradition for. And the miso itself is very healing, and it has natural penicillin in it, a lot of other healthy bacteria. And Japan has a tradition of being primarily a vegetarian diet with some fish. They historically never ate any red meat or even chicken or anything else in the past. And that only was introduced when the Westerners came over. So in Japan, especially like in Okinawa, for example, there's a long, you know, they are one of the groups that have the longest life and some of the lowest incidence of some of the major diseases that are afflicting the West and modern civilization today. So there's a lot of benefit, but any traditional culture, we go back far enough, it's all grains and beans and vegetables and tradition, you know, simple plant-based foods with very minimal animal foods. So pretty much where you...
that's
it. Okay. Go ahead.
Yep. Maurice again, and my internet's still not working over here, but I just wanted to chime in with that, is that, yes, even though macrobiotic, you know, a lot of the foods that we teach in the macrobiotic diet are traditional Japanese foods, macrobiotic doesn't have to be traditionally Japanese-style meals. And one of the things that, you know, I'm specifically working on is because I'm Italian.
Italian, right.
I love my pasta. I love my... tomato sauces and all that, and you know the hardest thing for me was to give that up because it's just, you know, part of like who I am. So what I'm trying to do now is trying to incorporate, you know, now that, you know, I'm not on that healing diet anymore, I am incorporating traditional Italian style recipes creatively to be completely whole foods, organic foods, delicious foods. You know, learning ways that, you know, Italians actually used to neutralize all nightshades, and you can eat them, and they're not acidic, and they're digestible. And so, you know, when you're not, you know, when you do have a tomato and you do have an eggplant, there's a way of having those so you can actually digest them, and they're not going to cause that acidity that you usually get. You know, we get those acid heartburn.
Yes.
So there's hope that it's not just eating the same traditional Japanese meal, because I love my pasta. So, and you know, I what I'm doing now is I have my own website and my own blog where I'm posting and writing about, you know, experiences cooking, you know, cooking macro the Italiano way. So if I can just chime that out, it is www.macromarinelli.com. That's M-A-C-R-O. My last name is MARINELLI.com. And you can go there, and there's just some really fun, inspiring recipes and stuff. You know, I can throw up, not all the time, but every once in a while, and you can check back for some fun things. So, yeah, get creative with it. I like to encourage people to, you know, be creative with your food. It doesn't always have to be so
rigid.
Yeah, so rigid. And
Yeah, absolutely. So just wanted to chime that in there.
Great. Thanks, Marissa. We have one more question here from 212.
Sorry, did you guys know the answer to the other about certain types of cancer too? If it affected, if the macrobiotic diet helped certain types of cancers or all cancers overall?
Oh yes. Okay. Sorry, I forgot to address that. So for that, the macrobiotic diet varies. It varies according to an individual's conditions, and not just cancers, and not just different cancers, but all kinds of issues and concerns that people have. If you go on the website, my website, phiyakushi.com, P-H-I-Y-A-K-U-S-H-I, you'll see a wide variety of various conditions that people have had. The woman who was just asking questions before, who was on her, Jill Schneider, she had cervical cancer. We have people who have prostate cancer. We have next week we have a man with HIV who is controlling his HIV with macrobiotics. We had a man who had schizophrenia, and he was able to resolve his schizophrenia and stop all of his medications using macrobiotics. So it's not just for certain types of cancers, it's for any type of cancer, and there's variations. The recommendations change considerably depending on the types of cancers you have and the types of conditions that you have. And it changes even if you're going to have some conventional therapy like chemotherapy, or if you're not going to have conventional therapy like Lori did. So if you are going to have conventional therapy, that like heavy doses of chemotherapy, then there are certain foods that we suggest you might be taking. So it really varies on all kinds of factors, as well as not to mention where you live geographically, your heritage, your background, and so many other factors come into play. So sometimes, in fact, I remember very rarely my father, he recommended a woman who was so tight and so wound up and so, like, intense that he recommended that she have Coca-Cola.
Ooh.
For the first persons that, one of the only persons ever, she was so, like, that in need of something as drastic as Coca-Cola.
Well, yeah, you have to see, you know, I remember one time I had eaten something sugary and I got the worst headache. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I'm going to figure this out. And I sat down with a jar of sauerkraut and I ate sauerkraut. And immediately the headache went away, and I laughed. I said, "Sure," because it was a sugar. It was the headache was brought on by sugar, so I needed to balance it out. So instead of taking two Tylenol, I ate sauerkraut, and the headache went away like that. And I laughed. I said, "Wow, no one would believe me." But you know, you learn how to balance yourself. So, and also don't forget. You know, macrobiotics helps with things like diabetes and high blood pressure and, you know, just all kinds of things like that, not just cancer. You know, so it's really great.
Thank you all.
Hey, thanks.
All right, Eva.
You have a caller from 212.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Pia. Pia.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, do you have a question?
Yes. Can you hear me? I was wondering if you got me or not.
We can hear you.
Oh, good. Hi, Lori. Hi, Marissa. Thank you, Marissa, for hosting these calls. They are wonderful. You are wonderful. I missed a little bit of the beginning. I was busy, and I don't know if Lori has talked about diagnosis or anything. I've been experiencing some pain in my right breast before I get the period, and this month was quite annoying. So I made an appointment with the gynecologist. I was wondering, I also was experiencing some insomnia, and I'm like, oh, I'm perimenopausal or what? And I went there and she did a, how do you call when they touch you?
Examine?
Yes, she examined and she said, oh, I cannot pick up anything. And she said, so you have to have a mammogram. And I was like, oh, my God. Can I have something like a less, I don't know, a sonogram? And she said, no, you have to have a mammogram because now we are detecting cancer less and less in younger people. The other day we diagnosed one 24-year-old girl with a cancer, and I was, I came home, and I still have the prescription in my bag because I haven't even take it out. I don't know what to do. I'm like,
how old are you?
I'm 44.
Oh, wow.
So I wonder if you have any idea.
I would definitely. I like sonograms, but because the mammogram did not detect my cancer, only the sonogram did.
Right.
But I suppose everybody is different, but I know that the pain is not normal. You know, you shouldn't have pain. Do you drink caffeine?
No, I don't.
No caffeine, because caffeine,
yeah.
I know, kind of aggravates.
I don't drink coffee at all.
But caffeine?
What do you mean, caffeine?
Caffeine is in soda.
No.
Oh, because caffeine is not just in coffee.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've been trying to think what I've done abnormal or just, yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't play with that. I don't know what anybody else wants to say, but I would not play with that. I mean, you know, it's early detection really, really helps in curing whatever you have. You know?
Right.
So you want, if you want to get the mammogram like the doctor wants, you're not too young for a mammogram if you're 44. But, or maybe if you want a sonogram. But you have to do something. You can't ignore it.
Right.
Yeah.
I would agree. I would suggest going to get your medical test done and then go see a macrovita counselor and get some advice. Or go to the Coochie Institute Way to Health program or some other other program. There's a Denny Waxman in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
nearby. I would recommend seeing him as well.
He's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So as far as medical tests, do you mean the mammogram or do blood test or other kind of tests?
Do it all.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, you have to do it all because you want to make sure that nothing bad is going on in there.
Right.
Yeah, you have to be, that's what they say about any kind of cancer. If you detect it early, if you find it early, then you have a better chance of healing yourself. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
All righty, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so I think, let me just double check, make sure there's no more other questions. Yes, that's it. So I just have one quick question, and I'll turn it over to you, Marissa, to end the call. Do you have any great roles for this Japanese
look? You never know. Not today, but I'm doing two television series, and I'm oh so busy. So
okay.
I will... You're willing to fly down to South Florida to?
Sure. If it's directed by Spielberg or somebody like that.
Oh, well, good for you, Fia. I will keep that in mind.
Great. Well, thanks again. Thanks, Lori, for being on, and Marissa, take it away.
Yes. So, thank you again. Yeah, if you have any call for dancers too, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, that's amazing. But really inspiring job. So I always love personally to hear stories from, you know, in the film industry, because it's just something, you know, I've always been attracted to, and it's a really hard industry to do that and, you know, live this lifestyle. So again, you've definitely inspired me, and thank you so much for being here. Sia, if you don't mind, since I can't unrecord it, if you can just stop the recording.
Okay, sure. Uh-huh.
Thank you. And so, yes, yeah, so thank